And it's time now for our press review with Antonia Kerrigan. And there's still a lot of dust left to settle on this US presidential election result. But Joe Biden has ordered there be a peaceful transition, and we're already looking ahead to the new administration.
That's quite right. Let's start with his first appointment to be announced. That is his chief of staff, Donald Trump's new chief of staff, who will be Susie Wiles. Politico have this piece on her, where they explain that she was credited with the so-called professionalization of Donald Trump's campaign, that she was hired to rehabilitate the former president after the January 6th riots gave him a real reputational hit. And her job has partly been to rein in the leaking, the infighting and the drama that have plagued his last two campaigns. She's thought to be someone that's quite no-nonsense. We've heard her described as an ice maiden. And she's been quite good, apparently, at managing Trump. Now, she hasn't been able to rein in all of his tangents during rallies, but this article in The Economist explains that she's been able to talk him down, on a couple of things, one of which was his discourse, his rhetoric on postal votes. She managed to convince him that actually it's probably in his interest to encourage those rather than discourage them. And also to rein in the comments on electoral theft that she understood 2020 electoral denying went down badly with voters. She's someone with huge political experience. She worked on Ronald Reagan's presidential campaign back in the 80s. She's also had a bit of a cottage industry in Florida of getting Republicans elected, including working on Ron DeSantis's governorship campaign in 2018. Other areas in which they're preparing for this transition include the many government departments and agencies where there are thousands of new hirings that are going to happen. One of those areas is the Army. The Washington Post has this piece. Pentagon anticipates major upheaval, with Donald Trump's return to the White House. Now, the convention in the Army is that the senior ranking positions in the Pentagon are selected on a rotating basis. That's been the case for some presidencies now. However, Donald Trump would have in his gift hiring and firing powers within those positions. So there is a question of how he will use that influence. What will he seek to change? But it's not just the question of appointments, as this article explains. It's also a question of how he will act as a commander-in-chief. Lloyd Austin, current defense secretary and veteran himself, has called for a calm, orderly and professional transition. And he's also said the US military stands ready to carry out policy choices of the next commander-in-chief and obey all lawful orders from the civilian chain of command. Now, the word lawful is key there, as is pointed out in this article. Donald Trump has, of course, talked extensively about using military force on the so-called enemy from within. And this article argues that he does not understand the need for non-partisan, non-political military. Of course, the problem is that not obeying an order on the grounds that it's an individual deems it unlawful, of course, that individual runs huge personal risk. Another area which is supposed to retain some independence, but on which Donald Trump has always been extremely vocal in both his presidency and Joe Biden's presidency, is monetary policy. So let's talk about the Federal Reserve. In a press conference yesterday, Jerome Powell, the chair and governor of the Fed, was asked, would you resign if Donald Trump asked you to? His answer was a firm no. Now, Donald Trump appointed Powell in 2018, but the two men did then bump heads. Powell refused Trump's demands that he freeze and then later cut interest rates. Now, the law does not allow Donald Trump to remove him. And he's set to remain chair until 2026 and governor until 2028. But they don't always stay out those extremely long terms. But the question remains, will the Fed, both under Powell or under any potential successor, manage to retain its independence with Donald Trump in the White House?
And in environmental news, a new study on private jet use suggests that the ultra-wealthy may not be doing their bit for the climate.
Can you imagine? Excuse the pun, private jet use, in fact, skyrocketing, according to this study in Nature magazine, Scientific Review. The Guardian has the headline, "Used like taxis, soaring private jet flights drive up climate heating emissions." That is because, according to this study, between 2019 and 2023, there were 19 million private jet flights, almost half of which were for journeys under 500 kilometres, and 900,000 of which were for journeys under 50 kilometres. That's remarkably short journeys, hence the taxi comment. And of course, in this time period, emissions from private aviation increased 46%. Now, if you look at this graphic, you can see these huge concentrations, mostly over North America, but also over Europe. 69% of private jets are registered in the US, followed by Canada and Germany. They're used by a minuscule proportion of the population, as you can imagine, 0.003%. And yet the passengers in some of these larger private airplanes have higher emissions in an hour than the average person does in a year. So that's some food for thought on climate justice.
And going back to the USA, specifically South Carolina, where 43 rhesus macaque monkeys are on the loose, breaking for freedom.
Absolutely. This is the story of a research facility in South Carolina, home to 7,000 monkeys, but now, as you say, 43 monkeys short. Excuse me, I've swiped away this article. I can't find it. Well, I'll just have to tell you. There we are. Now, apparently they don't carry disease or anything. They're too young to have been included in any testing. But locals have nevertheless been asked to close their doors and windows because the monkeys could be, quote unquote, skittish. Another jailbreak happened on Wednesday. And yeah, I know what you're wondering, Oliver. There is no known link between this and the US election result. Of course, there is extremely, remarkably little polling on how the two candidates polled among primates. So no known link, but certainly 43 monkeys on the loose.
Well, let's hope they enjoy their freedom while it lasts. And that's all we have time for now, but do stay tuned for more news coming up on France 24.